We all know the legal world is complex and high pressured. There's no room for error. That's why judges and attorneys across Chicagoland have trusted the expert court reporters at McCorkle Litigation Services since 1948. McCorkle Litigation Services has accurately recorded every word from thousands of legal proceedings. McCorkle Litigation Services provides the legal community with peace of mind, transcribing testimony and depositions that can be used reliably by jurors, judges, and attorneys. For all your legal support needs, contact McCorkle Litigation Services online at McCorkleLitigation.com.
We begin with Congressman Mike Quigley from the 5th District. He got elected in April 2009, but he's been in public office for 30 years now, and he joins us now in the studio, in the House. Congressman, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So you recently wrote in a Chicago Tribune op-ed piece that Trump should should begin impeachment proceedings now against Trump, not wait till he's out of office. Tell us why you feel that way.
About 5 minutes before my questions for Director Mueller, the old criminal defense attorney in me started to raise another issue. Let's do the math. Statute of limitations on obstruction of justice is 5 years. If a president serves 2 terms, he can serve past the statute of limitations. So it occurred to me as we look at the Justice Department's determination, its policy, that a seated president can't be indicted. It's hard for me to imagine that our founding fathers wanted to create a situation in which a seated president could be above the law. So the alternative is either you alter the Justice Department regulations or you open an impeachment inquiry, as was the beginning of the Watergate hearings. And I think it does several things. It spells out the crimes and misdemeanors we're talking about. It elongates what the Mueller testimony was all about into a protracted period of time to educate and inform the American people so we know exactly what we're addressing. And I think it gives you additional leverage with courts to try to get the information we've been seeking for a long time about this president.
So you think it sounds like it's an interesting legal theory because it sounds like you're saying you don't necessarily have to decide right now whether Trump committed the requisite high crimes and misdemeanors to successfully prosecute him, but rather impeachment proceedings are a means of discovery, of a means of finding out a little more detail as to what happens. Of course, opponents of that will say there's been, including the president, will say there's been enough. There's been, you know, House and a ton of investigations already. But it sounds like you're saying that this is a means of finding out a little more detail legally as to what might have transpired.
Well, several things. It's clear that 3% of the American people had read the Mueller report before that hearing. About 14 million people watched that. Watergate was a prolonged experience where we learned a lot. It was sort of an oh-by-the-way moment that we learned that there were secret tapings in the Oval Office, which led to, obviously, Richard Nixon's downfall. As important as everything that's in the report is what's not in the report. It should be abundantly clear that special counsel did not look at following the money. I was in Cyprus over a year ago following the money laundering issues. It is clear that the director didn't do any of those things. It's also clear that the counterintelligence investigation, which is where this all began, was handed off to other entities. We clearly don't know who that is. So these hearings could also bring people like the FBI director to ask fair questions. Was the president of the United States compromised? And what do we know at this point?
Well, you had asked him specifically whether if a president was still in office when the statute of limitations ran, what would happen? And he didn't answer the question. What is your takeaway from that?
I think my takeaway is they hadn't thought about it. And I'm not sure the people at the Justice Department have thought about it. This is a policy, I think, that was put in place around 1969, and it's been continued on a bipartisan basis. I get the notion of the policy. I don't know if it stands up based on concerns about the statute of limitations and our hyper-partisan world we're living in which I'm not sure what the president has to be accused of for this Senate to move forward on impeachment. And that's a little concerning. And for those who say, we've had this investigation, read the report. It is very clear that the director was putting this in Congress's hands. I believe he is of a a notion that the President of the United States obstructed justice. He gave us 10 pretty clear examples. It is obvious the American public needs to be further informed about what took place there and what's missing from the Director Mueller's investigation.
Congressman, just yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee sued to force former White House counsel Don McGahn to testify before Congress, asking a federal judge to strike down the Trump administration's claim that presidential aides like McGahn are absolutely immune from its subpoenas. Do you think this lawsuit will be successful?
It should. You mentioned earlier that the investigations have gone on for some time. I was part of the House Intel investigation from the first day. I will tell you, this isn't the first example of the White House squashing the testimony of key witnesses as to obstruction and other violations. We haven't been able to get to the truth. It will require the courts to force that issue. McGahn is as critical a witness as anyone. If you read the report, it's pretty clear that if he hadn't pushed back on the president would have fired Mueller. The president would have put out false information to the press about his efforts to fire Mueller. And he was a witness to the firings and all the information we gleaned about General Flynn and the firing of Director Comey.
And in many ways, I mean, the lawsuit in and of itself is an example of obstruction. I mean, if you're not afraid of what McGahn has to say, and if he didn't actually do the things that people allege that he did and step in and prevent Trump from firing, doing what he wanted to do, then let him speak. But the very fact that he's filing a lawsuit, doesn't that just support the idea that Trump is obstructing justice?
I think it does. I think that one of the places that the president fails is the court of karma. For those of us who can remember the Republican convention where General Flynn and others were leading chants of lock her up, they were also mocking people who took the Fifth Amendment, people who pled immunity, people who thought the president of the United States had widespread abilities to not let people testify. They're doing anything that took place there times a much higher factor.
So turning now to the horrific shootings this past weekend in El Paso and in Dayton, what can you and your fellow legislators do to try to help solve this epidemic?
I think the House has begun this. The fact that we're in the majority was, a good first step, because we have passed a couple bills, the first since I've been there, and one of them dealt with background checks. I was in the Supreme Court watching the arguments about Chicago's gun case. This is where this all started, the Second Amendment. And in there, it's instructive to read the opinion of the majority. And while they said there is a Second Amendment right, they were astute enough and I think fair enough to say that's like all rights, not unlimited. And the language is valuable about where Congress needs to go. Basically, it says that doesn't mean anybody can get a gun and they can have any kind of gun they want anywhere they want. So the vast majority of Americans, vast majority of NRA members don't want bad people to get guns. They favor universal background checks. And they recognize what I think common sense tells us all. When you have an assault weapon and you have 100 rounds in the magazine, you're not defending your home. You're not hunting deer. You're hunting people. And that's one of the limits I think the Supreme Court was talking about and something Congress should act on immediately.
That is the Congressman Mike Quigley from the 5th District. He's been in since April 2009. I have to ask you one last question. It's the prime of 16-inch season, so let me lob one up for you. No Joel Quenneville anymore, but Colleton now gets a full season. You're a diehard Blackhawks fan. What do you think the ceiling is this year? You got Taves and Kane, Crawford back. What do you think?
I think it helps to have another goaltender with experience who fought for the Vezina last year. They're 2 years out of being in the playoffs. I know they're particularly hungry. Every season's different in hockey. I think as important as all that is, these players are now going to have some experience with the new coach and his brand new system and a training camp to learn about that. And defensemen like Seabrook have a little more time to adjust to it, because for a person his age and size, it's a different game.
Certainly is. That's Mike Quigley, Congressman from the 5th District. Thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.